Chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we obtain an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we just pray you would bless as we look into it this morning. Help us to understand what you have for us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And through this year, we have been considering the thought of our need for spiritual vision. And we recognize, I think, with everything that's gone on this year, how much we do need to have that spiritual vision, just so that we can navigate through the challenges of life, so that we can respond properly, so we can have the right priorities. That it's very easy for us to get focused on the temporal and the material. We learned about that last week, that a lot of times that's why it's so important that we have a time of remembrance to help us to get reconnected, refocused, realize what's truly of value in life. And so, as we've seen the last several weeks, often our spiritual vision becomes impaired. Many different things going on around us, many things going on within us can do that. And so God wants to help us to see, and so he provides different things that really serve as corrective lenses through which we can view the world. And they help to enable us to see things as they clearly are. We've looked already, we looked last week at the thought of the lens of remembrance, where how it keeps us on track, it helps us to honor God as we should, to maintain right priorities. We looked at the idea of seeing things through the lens of gratitude, where we learn to be thankful and just appreciate life and what God gives, that it is for our good. We see things through the lens of mercy. We recognize how much God has shown mercy to us, and that even when someone does wrong, that we look at it not as this great offense that we need to get revenge for, but instead it's an opportunity that we can show the same mercy to others that God's shown to us. We consider that the same with the idea of grace. But then as well, we considered that seeing things through the lens of hope, that God gives us hope even in difficult times, so that we don't need to be to despair, that we can trust that God has a plan and a purpose and will see us through. And so then that brings us to today, that we want to consider another lens, if you will, of how God gives to us to help us to see the world the way that it truly is, and that is through the lens of purpose. And we see in this world that there is very much a struggle for many to see purpose in this life. There's many that don't believe that there is a God, and they would say, well, everything that happens is essentially a product of random chance. There's no real rhyme or reason. There's not some anyone kind of overseeing anything. Things just happen as they do. So if something good happens to our life, it's basically good luck or good fortune. If something bad happens in our lives, we have bad luck. And so if we do have bad luck, we hope that our luck changes. If we have good luck, we hope that our luck doesn't run out. But we're basically told we have no control over it, and no one does. And so with that mindset, if we would look at the way 2020 has gone, we could say, well, we've all had a very bad string of bad luck, and we just hope that it changes sometime soon. But I think many rightly struggle to accept the thought that there would not be any purpose in life. Because I think all of us would agree that if life doesn't have any purpose, then life doesn't have any real meaning either. And if life has no meaning, then does life have any true value? And such a mindset, I think we would recognize, brings us to a place of frustration and despair. If there's no point, if there's no purpose, if there's no meaning, then what's the use of going on living? And so deep down, I think we know that there must be a purpose to what happens in life. There must be a purpose to our lives. And I think everybody wants to find that. And things happen in life, things we don't expect, things we weren't prepared for. But we often ask the question, well, why is this happening? And more specifically, may I ask, why is this happening to me? In addition, we may also seek the answer to the question, why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? And those are significant questions. There's ones that we need answers to, and we can spend many years of their life trying to find the answers to those questions. Now, if we lean on our own understanding, if we try to come up with our own answers, and if, especially if God is not part of the equation, we're going to probably not come up with the right answers. And it's the thing that when we lack spiritual vision, or spiritual vision is impaired, when we're seeking for purpose, we can come to entirely wrong conclusions. For instance, when bad things happen, we may immediately assume, well, it's because we're being punished for something wrong that we have done. And certainly, actions do have consequences. We do reap what we sow. And when we make bad decisions, we do suffer the consequences for those bad decisions. But yeah, I think it's a little too simplistic to automatically assume that anything that bad that comes into our life is because of something that we've done bad specifically. We think back to the Old Testament, to the story of Job. As you read that, you see that his three friends, and that term friends is kind of a loose term. I think when we see how little actually of a help they were to Job. But basically, they had it all figured out. And they kept telling Job, well, this misfortune has happened to you because of some terrible sin that you must have committed. So you just need to fess up, you need to say you're sorry, and then your life won't be so rough anymore. And from their perspective, that had to be the problem. But of course, if you read Job, you really find that they didn't have a clue what they were talking about. And they were not any help to Job at all. That Job was a man of singular integrity. And he wasn't being punished for some wrong he had done. Something else was going on behind the scenes. That basically Satan had dared God to allow him to inflict pain on him. To see if, and he said, well, if you let me do that, he'll curse you to his face. And God knew Job, and he's actually the one that brought Satan's attention to him. And he knew that Job was going to maintain his integrity and still do right and bring honor and glory to God through that trial. But that's the thing, is that's often what happens. And it can be very be not very much of a help to people if we go around like Job's friends telling them that all this happened because of this thing that you did and so you're just getting retribution. That we really want to understand it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes people go through bad things and they didn't do anything to deserve it. It comes. And then sometimes there's ones where you think, boy, they sure deserve it, and they don't seem to get what we think is coming to them. So it's not as simple as we'd like to think that it is. But another example of a wrong conclusion that may come to us is that the purpose of life is to gain as much of what this world has to offer in the time that we have. whether it's wealth, possession, status, fame, or pleasure. Many spend their lives in the pursuit of these things, thinking that they're going to give life purpose, but such pursuits are misdirected. Jesus declared in Luke 12 and verse 15 that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things that he possesses. In 1 Timothy 5, 6, we find that anyone that lives in pleasure is dead while they live. That if our purpose is only found in the material and the temporal, our lives are not going to count or amount to much. And so we really want to understand that spiritual vision is essential for us to discovering and fulfilling what our purpose is in this life. And that's the thing, that we can be certain that there is a God, and we can also be certain that He has injected our lives with purpose. That He does not want us to spend our lives without purpose, nor does He want us to spend our lives living for the wrong purpose. And so as we look into the Word of God this morning, we can, by faith, discover that purpose. And as we see our world, we see our lives through the lens of purpose, we can find meaning, value, and focus to our lives. And so, from the Bible, we can understand that everything happens for a purpose. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1, where it says, "To everything there is a season, a time, to every purpose under heaven. Time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." And we understand that there is time for everything, and there's a purpose for every purpose under heaven. There's time, and we see verse 11 that God makes everything beautiful in His time, and these different things we want to understand work together. We see further on in verse 17 of that same passage, "He said, my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for, there for every purpose and for every work." And so life has purpose. Our circumstances have purpose. Our lives have purpose. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, where it says of God that He has saved us. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, it says, "Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." That we think of that, that He, that when we trust in Christ as Savior, that we are saved from our sins. But as we are saved, we are also called by God with a holy calling. There's a calling upon our lives as believers to fulfill. And there's a purpose that God has. And it's really from the very beginning, given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, that this thought of what He wanted us as believers to do in this world. And so we want to understand that God is the one who gives purpose to our circumstances and to our lives, and it is in Him that we find purpose. We see that in Ephesians chapter 3. It talks about that, verse 11, Ephesians 3:11, "According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." That we find our purpose in the Lord Jesus and what He has done. And so we understand that God doesn't want us to be wasting years seeking to find purpose. We understand that He lays that out to us. And so we see a lot of that as we look into the passage that we read this morning in Ephesians chapter 1. We had looked in this passage earlier, a few weeks ago, but we were focused more on the idea of God's grace. But today we want to consider how much is spoken of God's purpose, and that different things are done for a certain reason. And that's really important, I think, that we understand that why, not just what God does, but why He does it. And it helps us to understand things and know what we're supposed to do with the knowledge that we have. We see in verse 3 where it says that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so we think, well, okay, we have blessings and we enjoy great blessings, but as we've learned in terms of mercy and grace, right, it's kind of the sense that He gives us blessings so that we can be a blessing to others. We see as well, it talks about in verse 4 that He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. And this is something, this idea of God's choosing, we sometimes get tripped up on it. But we really want to understand when it speaks of us being chosen, we always see linked with it is a reason why we are chosen. That we're always chosen by God for a purpose. And that's always the way that it is used in terms of being chosen or being elect of God. It's always in that sense. And we see He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's His plan for us. That as we trust in Him as Savior, that we would then be made holy and without blame as we learn to walk with Him. That we think of what Jesus said to His disciples, that He had chosen them as disciples. He says, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." That they were chosen so that they could bring forth fruit that would last. And so we think of that, and that's what God has for us. And we see that He's predestinated us to the adoption of children, so we can have a relationship with God. And it's according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, where He has made us accepted in the Beloved. That we become His children for a reason, for a purpose. And so that His grace can be glorified and praised. That we have His redemption, we have His forgiveness. Verse 8, He gives us wisdom abundantly. Verse 9, He makes us know what is the mystery of His will. That's the thing that a lot of times many people are like, I want to know what the will of God is for my life. And in terms of specifics, there's things where God needs to give guidance, but really when we see the big picture, we see it's very clear that it's not something we need to have a theological degree to see what it is. And he doesn't want it to be something that is hidden from us. He wants to make it plain, and we can be thankful for that. And it's His thought, His pleasure, He wants to, His will is He wants to gather all things in Christ, in heaven and earth, that He wants to gather them unto Himself. And then we see verse 11, that we've obtained an inheritance from Him, that this was, again, predestined, that anyone that trusted in Jesus as Savior, that God's plan for them was to have an inheritance. And it's according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And then we see verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. And so we see all of that, that there's different things that God does, different things that God's given to us, different things God has blessed us with, and it all has to do with a purpose. And so from this passage, want to kind of break this down very simply. We want to understand that God has a purpose for each of our lives. God always has a purpose for the things that happen in our lives. And the more we come to understand what that is, and we come to accept what He's trying to do, then the more we can really be a part of His work in accomplishing His purposes. Now, of course, to be clear, there are many things that do happen in our lives that we try to ask ourselves, why did this happen? And sometimes there are specific reasons. In the moment, many times we don't understand them, especially if it's some kind of tragedy that occurs in our life. And so I'm not going to presume that I can provide you with all the specific reasons things happen. Sometimes you don't find out the reasons till years later. As well, I'm reminded of the words of a hymn where it says, "Trials dark on every hand, we cannot understand all the way that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die, and we'll understand it better by and by." And that's the thing. There's some things, especially difficult things we go through, we won't fully understand till we get to heaven. And with those, we have to live by faith that there is a reason, there is sense to what's just happened, even if none of that is presently clear to us in the moment. But nevertheless, as we look into God's Word, we see that God lays out to us some basic principles of what His purpose is. And really, it's not that complicated. He lays it out fairly clearly, and I hope that as we do this, that it'll help to make things make sense, especially with all that we're going through right now, that it just, you'll be able to see God's purpose in it, and that it can bring comfort and help to you. So first off, if we could just kind of lay it out in three different things specifically, and this is very basic, but in terms of God's purpose. That first of all, God's ultimate purpose, His ultimate purpose for our lives, for all of His creation, is to bring glory to Himself. We see this in verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 2. It's to the praise of the glory of His grace, that He wants Himself to be glorified. We see that as well in verse 12, that we should be the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. That everything that we do, everything that we become, that He would be glorified, His grace would be glorified. And we see that through the Scriptures, that that's what our lives are supposed to do, that we're bought with a price, so we're to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, it says, "Whatsoever ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And so we want to understand that everything happens that God might be glorified. And we want to understand, too, that God is going to be glorified in the end, no matter what is going to happen. And so we can think of it this way, that if there is someone that is a sinner, that has done wrong, and God brings punishment upon that person, and they're judged for their sins, God is glorified for His holiness and His righteousness, right? But as well, we understand that if God is able to show mercy and grace and compassion to someone, to show forgiveness to their sins, show the grace that they can be adopted as children, can be made into someone that would bring praise to God, that brings Him glory as well. And so, knowing the character of God, we know what He would prefer. We think what it says in Ezekiel, where God says, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live." And so, God can be glorified if someone that has sinned and is rebellious, doesn't turn to Him, is punished for that sin, but much more He would prefer to be glorified by being able to show mercy and grace on a soul as they come to Him in humility and faith for salvation. And so that brings us to the second of God's purposes, and that is that He wants people to come to salvation. We read in 1 Peter 3 and verse 9 that God is long-suffering to us, where He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's why He hasn't come back yet to judge the world. He's giving people more time. He wants to see people come to know Him as Savior. We think of what it talks about in 1 Timothy 2 and verses 1 to 4, where He calls us that we need to be praying for our leaders so that we can lead a life that's quiet and peaceable, in all godliness and honesty. And it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." And so that's the thing. God wants as many people as possible to come to Him for salvation. And that's the reason why he sent his son. We read in John 3:16 that it says that he sent his son so that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That it's whosoever, anyone can come, that all they have to do is believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and they can be saved. And so, ultimately, we want to think of that our lives as believers, that we are to glorify God, but also our lives are to be dedicated to that purpose of trying to see other people come to know Christ as Savior, that we're to be part of God's great rescue mission. We're to be fellow laborers with Him. That we see that Jesus came to this earth, but when He went to depart from this world, what happened is that He gave to us what we refer to as the Great Commission, where we're to go and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teach and observe everything that God's commanded us. That we're to preach the gospel to every creature. We're to let people know that God loves them, that they don't have to die and spend eternity in hell, that they can be forgiven, they can be redeemed, and that God can save them from the wrath that's to come. And so that's, we understand, is second of God's purposes, and it's something that we want to be focused on, that purpose of winning souls for Christ. Then that leads us to the third thought, and that is that God wants us to be transformed into Christ's likeness. We see this in Romans 8, verses 28 and verse 29, where it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That we want to see this and have faith that everything that happens in our life, even things we didn't desire, even things that we would never have wished for on ourselves or our worst enemy, when they come, that God can bring good out of them. And it comes as we have the right attitude, where we are choosing to love God and follow what His purpose is. And it's laid out very clearly in verse 49 that God's plan for any believer, knowing that they'd come to salvation, was that they would be conformed to the image of His Son, that they would be transformed so that people would see Christ through them. And that's His desire. And He desires for this to happen so that we can bring glory to Him and so that we can bring souls to Him as well. We think of what it says there back in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, that this purpose that He has, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, that we who were sinners, that God is able to transform us into saints, that we who once stole, we steal no more, but instead we work with our hands and we have to give to those that need. Instead of being ones where our hands hurt others, that instead our hands heal others. Instead of our words cutting people down, that they build them up. That God takes us as sinners and He works in our lives to transform us so that then we are a blessing and a help to others. And that's what He wants for us. That this is a very dark world, and with everything that's going on, it seems to be getting even darker. And so He wants us, as His people, to shine as lights in the world. And in order for us to shine brighter, He works on us each day to refine us, to purify us. We read in Proverbs 4, verse 18, it says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." And that's the thing, as we walk with Him, His word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. As we follow it in obedience, our path becomes brighter and we become more like Him. And the closer we get to Christ's likeness, the more we shine and the more other people are drawn to God through us. We read in Matthew chapter 5 how Jesus says that we are the light of this world. And He tells to us that we're, verse 16, we're to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. And so we see that it's the idea of how he's working on us, and it leads to his ultimate purpose, that he would be glorified through us, but as well people would be drawn to him by our light shining. And so when we understand this, and this again, very basic, but it's to glorify God, to see souls saved, and to transform us into Christ's likeness. When we think of that threefold purpose of the Lord, and we start seeing life through the lens of purpose, if we have that front and center in life, it really gives focus and direction, and really helps us to make sense of a lot that's going on. Right? Because trials and adversity, we know, are going to come in our lives. We're going to be sure of that. The Bible makes it clear that's going to happen. And it's not necessarily things that come that we deserve, that if we're going to live godly, we're going to suffer persecution. That, and it will be unjustly. We haven't done anything to bring it on, but because they hate our Savior, they hate us as his representatives. But we want to recognize that adversity in our lives gives us an opportunity to glorify God. It gives us an opportunity to be a testimony to Christ for those that don't yet know him as Savior. And it's an opportunity for us to grow closer and become more like Jesus. And we have that choice. When things happen, are we going to get angry, upset? Are we going to murmur and complain? Are we going to be thankful and trust the Lord in this and have the right attitude? If we do that, that'll glorify God. Others see that we're not getting upset. We're not panicking. We're not getting mad at everybody. They see, wow, why is this person so different from everyone else? Why is their response so much more controlled? Where everyone else is upset and panicking, and they have peace. They have calmness. They're still being kind to other people. Something's going on. People want to find out. And again, it's a thing that God is trying to help us, and he's challenging us. He's putting us to a test, and we have to decide, am I going to walk in the flesh, or am I going to walk in the Spirit? Am I going to respond the way my flesh is pushing me to do, or am I going to follow the footsteps of Jesus and respond as he would? And so we see that it is, we look at adversity as being this opportunity to learn, an opportunity to grow, an opportunity that God puts in front of us to be able to make a difference, make an impact. And that's why we see the statement of James, James chapter 1, where he says, "Brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience." That it produces something in us when our faith is tried, and we endure that difficult time, that adversity. And it works in us, and that's what it says in the next verse, "Let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." That God is building things into our life, and he's taking other things out that don't need to be there anymore. And we need to realize the work that he's doing and allow that patience to have its perfect work, so that we're not lacking anything, that we're growing, we're maturing, and we're becoming what he wants us to be. Paul echoes this thought in Romans chapter 5, where he says that we glory in tribulations. And you would think that how, with everything that's going on in our lives right now, how can we glory in that? How can we rejoice in that? But we understand is that tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience works hope. And then hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so it's the thing that as we go through adversity, it works in us patience, experience, hope. And the more we go through it and we seek God's help, we draw close to him, then God's love continues to be shed abroad in our hearts, that we know that even though we're in trouble, that he's right there with us. We don't have to be afraid. He's going to see us through, and we can have peace and comfort. And it's the thing. It comes when our spiritual vision becomes impaired. that trials, when they come into our lives, they frustrate us. They make us anxious. We wish these things were not happening to us. We may even try to find ways to escape this from the situation. That we want it to be done, and we're just being impatient and frustrated. But it's the thing, when we instead start to view the trial through the lens of God's threefold purpose of His glory, of seeing souls saved, of us being personally transformed to Christ-likeness, we see that God brings these things into our lives to do that refining, purifying work that we need. He's trying to purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He's trying to purify unto Himself a peculiar people that are zealous of good works. He began that work in us when we first came to Him for salvation, and He promises He's going to continue that until the day of Jesus Christ. And it is so that we would be to the praise of His glory. And so the more we understand the purifying process we need to go through, and the more we yield to it, He changes us. He helps us. He gives us strength. He gives us the right attitude. And we bring glory to Him, and we can be greatly used of Him in bringing lost souls to Himself. And so it's important for us really to understand that we need to get with God's program. We need to understand what He's trying to do and embrace that, be a part of it. Because if by our attitudes and actions and reactions we're not glorifying God, we're not drawing lost souls unto Himself, we're not growing more like Christ, then what are we doing? We're not fulfilling God's purposes. We're missing out on the opportunities He's giving us to make a real difference in our community and in our generation. And it shouldn't be that way. And so it should be something when we realize that, wait a minute, I'm living for myself. I'm living for the now. I'm not even thinking of eternal things. Something's not right there. If I'm doing that, I'm missing out on the true purpose God has given me. And that's the thing, is that we sometimes can be so focused on trying to find our happiness through self-indulgence and other things that we'll never find it, that we'll just make ourselves miserable. But instead, it's when we're realizing this is what God has put me on this earth for, and as I accomplish it, I'm fulfilling the purpose God has for me. That's what's going to bring true happiness and satisfaction in life. And so, in this time of adversity that we're now in, which certainly sounds like it's going to be getting worse before it gets better, instead of getting angry and frustrated, we need to see all that's going on through the lens of God's purpose. And we need to realize how important our response is. And we need to choose to follow the Spirit's leading and enabling instead of reacting in the flesh. Because there's so many people around us that are struggling to know what to do. And they're just, things are getting more worrisome, darker. They don't know if there's any way of getting out of this and how they're going to just kind of make do and make it through. And so it is in this time of difficulty, this time of adversity, that it's time for us as God's people to shine. To show people that in the midst of all this, we can still have patience, we can still have peace, we can still have compassion for one another. That the world is watching us as God's people. And so are we going to just respond just like everyone else, or is Christ going to shine through us? And so may the Lord help us all to see things as they truly are, and as well to see what's truly at stake. God can bring good out of this time of adversity we are in. That this could be a time in which many people come to the end of themselves and turn to the Lord in faith. And God might bring great deliverance to us all, might even bring great revival to our nation. But so much hinges on what we as God's people do. If we determine to bring glory to God by our lives through this time, if we determine to yield to God's purifying work, and we determine to let our light shine in this ever-darkening world, May God's purposes be accomplished in us, and may we make a tremendous difference in our generation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you that our lives do have purpose. You've put us on this earth for a reason, at this certain time and place in history. And we just thank you for that, Lord, and we thank you that you make your purposes plain, that it isn't some great mystery. And just help us, Lord, that we might be busy and focused on fulfilling your purposes in our lives, so that we can make a true difference, and that we can find true fulfillment as well. Just guide us and bless us from your word, we pray today. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's stand once more, and we're going to turn to our last...